Hello everyone, this is Ahmed Khalil from Beltone Financial. We are very pleased to invite you to participate in our the conference call with Qatar Navigations Management to discuss first half 2011 financial performance and the company's outlook going forward. We are pleased to have with us today Mr. Mohammed Tayyem, Head of Corporate Finance and Investments, and Mr. Sami Shtayyi, Head of Management Reporting and Analysis. Following the presentation by management, we will open the floor for a Q&A session. Gentlemen, please, you can start.
This is Mohammed. I would like to welcome all of you on this call. During this call, we would walk you through our financials briefly. We'll also give you an update on where we are with the restructuring and the new strategy. And we will also allow for questions towards the end of the call after we have completed our presentation. Now I will just hand over to Sami to walk you through the financials.
Thanks, Mohammed. My name is Sami Shtayyi. Thanks, everyone, for joining the call today. I'll start off by saying if you've seen the press release of our financials for the first half of the year, you'll notice one thing that's a little different from other years and that's or other quarters, and that's the fact that we changed the format of our P&L a little bit. And the main purpose of that was to hopefully provide more information to the analyst community. Having said that, I'm going to now move on to read some excerpts of the financial results for the that were public that were published publicly for the first half of 2011. So. Operating revenues of 1.1 billion Qatari riyals versus same period in 2010 of 1 billion. Operating profit of 300 million versus 299 million in 2010. And net profit of 418 million versus 952 million in 2010. Two factors that are really impacting the bottom line net income are related to one-time non-cash accounting adjustments in 2010 tied to the Qatar Shipping acquisition. The sum of those is 534 million. So if you normalize for those two factors, we're actually at the net income level flat. We're virtually flat on the revenue line as well. Having said that, I want to get into the key segments of our business, because if you've looked at the numbers, you will notice that there are some variation within the segments of our business, and that's although the overall consolidation is virtually flat, there has been some movement in the segment. So this is what I'm going to discuss at this point. I'd first like to start off with the commercial business. You'll see a very large increase in the revenue as well as the expenses. This is mainly tied to two factors. One, this business this business sold a large amount of inventory, basically to offload some inventory that was sitting on our books for several years. So we were able to unload some inventory. That made up a large chunk of the increase in revenue. And then we have the pricing related to diesel fuel sales. So those are the two main factors. You also notice on the expense side that those virtually flow hand in hand. Having said that, the expenses are a little higher than the revenue, and the main reason for that it has to do with the inventory that was sold off. We actually sold it below cost to move it off of our books. As I said, it was aging inventory, and we wanted to get it off of our books. The other segment that had some movement was the port services segment. TEU volume for us was down approximately 11% year to date, and this was the main factor for the decrease in revenue. Similarly, we had a decrease in expenses, again, tied to the volume. Our marine transport department had an increase in revenue, and this was, ironically enough, this had to do with an increase in TEU volume, and this has to do with some new lanes that they're getting into. as well as a fuel surcharge that was implemented mid-year. And we were able to charter out one of the vessels that we took possession of last year. So those three factors are driving the increased revenue for our marine transport department. On the expense side, volume obviously played a factor and increases the expenses for the marine transport department. We also had increased fuel prices, diesel, and salaries and wages went up mainly on the crew and the employee level. Real estate showed a large increase of approximately 33 million Qatar riyals for the half year, and that primarily had to do with the fact that the timing of the rental out of our navigation tower here in Doha was middle of the year last year, so we're seeing a year-on-year increase. Qatar Quarries showed a large decrease in revenue. Similarly, they had a decrease in expenses. This was really tied to several things. One, we were able to get a higher price per ton this year versus last year. So although the revenue had come down, the actual price per ton had gone up. And the flip side of that was we were actually also able to get a lower cost per ton because we were buying in bulk. So those two factors, as well as some, we had lower finance expense related to that that segment as well. Those are the main ones. If anyone has any specific questions on the segments or anything else you want to ask regarding the business, we can do it now, or we can open it up for Q&A at the end of the session.
They need to register, I think, for the questions. Probably we'll just do it
at the end.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll turn it over now to Mohammed, and he'll go into strategy.
Yeah. I think you may be aware of the fact that we are doing a restructuring of the company with a new strategy in place. We actually have completed our comprehensive review of the current businesses and revised our long-term strategy. That was about May, June this year. And then we've launched this a project we call Project Mustaqbal, which is the project to actually implement the new strategy. Project Mustaqbal is targeting 18 to 24 months of implementation and started back in June. So we're actually still in the early stage of Project Mustaqbal. The restructuring under Project Mustaqbal covers all areas, covers all business lines, in addition to the support lines and support functions. Basically, we're streamlining and optimizing the business lines one by one, which means that some businesses will be regrouped in a different way. Some businesses will expand, and some businesses may not expand. And on the support side, we're basically trying to have the best optimum structure, the most efficient, that not only would only focus on cost cutting, but will also enable the company to build the capability for supporting and implementing the new strategy on the business side. So the restructuring covers both business lines and the support areas. We're currently involved in a sizable project when it comes to internal controls, policies, procedures, IT systems, revision of all IT systems, personnel and HR, talent pool, skill set, in addition to reengineering of all the processes and procedures. So it's quite a lengthy, comprehensive exercise that we're doing at the moment, and we hope that we will reap those benefits in the coming years. We are also working on rebranding the company. We will announce when the new brand will be launched. We think that's going to happen in the near future, targeting the fourth quarter of this year. The actual dates will be announced in the media. The new brand will is part of what we're trying to do, and will should express the way we see our business going forward, and expresses that hopefully visually, and I think that covers a lot on what we're doing on the strategy and the restructuring of the company. Maybe one more slight development from our publication we made in the press release we made on June 5th is we're going to have seven pillars. I think we're going to have only six pillars because we've decided to combine real estate development and investment under one pillar. Apart from that, the investment pillar, the business pillars that we've announced will remain to be the same. I think we're ready to take questions.
Thank you, sir. If any participant would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. There will be a short pause whilst participants register for a question. Thank you. Our first question comes from Radwan Ahmed. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking this call. Just have a few questions to start with, if possible. Firstly, for Sami on kind of the individual divisions, the one I'm looking at is Qatar Shipping. You restated the numbers, and for example, for 2000 and first half 2011 is 140 million, and for first half of 2010, I think it's Qatar Shipping 137 million. But your profit margins is much higher than what it used to be when you reported it last year. For example, your margin was about 40% before you restated it. Now your margins are closer to 80%. Can you just explain why that's jumped so much, really, and what's exactly happened there?
Yeah, Ridwan, I honestly can't speak to the margins, but what I can tell you is that the increase in revenue, the improvement in the expenses, and ultimately the improvement in the net income is primarily driven by one of the holdings, the Gulf LPG holding. As you know, Gulf LPG is operating some...
Sammy, my question really relates to the restating. For example, for the first half 2010, your margins are, as you report in your new numbers, 80.9%. But when you reported them, say, last year, the margin was 40%. So, for example, last year when you reported your numbers, the profit in the first half of 2010 was 123. The profit for Qatar Shipping was 46 million, and now it's jumped to 100 and.
Yeah, Ridwan, I know the answer. I just picked up on what you're saying. What I said when I first took the call was the fact that we've changed the format of the P&L, and I think that's what's throwing you off a bit. The P&L actually now under operations, we're including both investments and real estate because those are two operations. Those are they both have ongoing departments. They both have ongoing revenue and expenses. So those are now under operations as opposed to being below the line, so to say.
Right, okay. That's affected Qatar Shipping. Okay, just on a general question, really. In terms of your operating profit, you mentioned that you're more or less flat year on year. Now, given that the economy has expanded by about 10-15% or more, what you read in the papers, how does that compare in terms of your performance relative to the economy growing 10-15%? Is there any particular reason why the units have underperformed relative to the economy?
Yeah, Ahmed, I'll take that answer. This is Mohammed Taim speaking. GDP usually and historically has been a good indicator of how our business would perform. I think in that year, because of the huge gains in the oil and gas sector of the GDP, which did not filter through to the rest of the economy, you will see a much higher GDP growth, but it's not necessarily reflected in the rest of the GDP sectors of the economy. Imports is very important for us as well, which did not move as it historically has been moving with GDP, with GDP growth. Of course, that's for the part of the business that's related to the local business. We also have to keep in mind that we operate on the shipping side as part of the global industry, and we are impacted by the global shipping rates and the other variables that impact that that industry. Does that answer your question, Ahmed?
It does, yeah. Just to follow up on that, really, in terms of the oil and gas GDP growth, when do you expect to see that filter in into the real economy, into the lines of business that you see, and when do you expect to see all this construction and investment that we hear about in the press, really, in Qatar and Doha? When do you expect that to all kick in, really?
As you know, Ahmed, the Qatar government is the biggest spender in the country, and infrastructure spending has been the one of the major areas that's been moving the economy over the past few years, several years actually. And the question really, when the company will commence with or launch the new project, the project and the projects are, that are in the pipeline that have been announced publicly over the past year. And we know there are several hundred million dollars of billion dollars of projects that, that are in the pipeline. Look, I think with the all the instability internationally in the financial markets, the views on the global economies and the uncertainties and the political situations in some of the areas in the region, it's hard to say that all of that is going to commence between now and the end of the year. Having said that, Qatar has showed commitment towards building its infrastructure. We expect that to continue. The question is timing, and it's very, very difficult to actually give a time frame for that.
Okay, just one final question from me, really. Just in terms of your new strategy, are you looking at any kind of acquisition opportunities within Qatar or outside? And if you can comment on that, if possible.
The company is looking to expand and grow its business in some sectors, and would consider organic or non-organic growth opportunities. It depends on whether, you know, how strong and what's the kind of presence the company has in that sector or that geography, and would it make sense for the company to grow organically or to acquire a business that that could expedite or shorten the period where it needs to have that level of presence in that specific sector, segment, or geography. So the answer is both organic and non-organic.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Karthik Sankaran from BlackRock. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much for hosting this call. I have a couple of questions. First, as part of the new restructuring strategy, are there any assets that you would look to dispose? Are there any assets that you'd like to acquire? And could you also talk a bit about where your CapEx will be concentrated on going forward, or if it's any CapEx to begin with?
As I said, the company is looking to grow its business, its segments. Some of it will be via acquiring assets. The other will be via acquiring maybe businesses. That depends on which business segment, and the need to grow in that segment within a certain time frame. We think what's happening and the view on the shipping industry, while it may sound a little bit dark, it may also create an opportunity as well at the same time. And I think we believe that having the financial strength and the positions that we hold today may actually be a good opportunity for us to be able to be opportunistic and benefit from what could happen in the market going forward.
Thank you. I just have a couple of specific questions on individual business units. First, on Halul Offshore, can you get a sense of you know, the length of contract and if any contracts for vessels are due for maturity in the near future?
The Halul business have different maturities for its contracts. Some of the contracts go longer than the other contracts, 3 to 5 year contracts or 1 year contracts. A lot of those contracts mature and get renewed in most cases. I think Halul has a good strength in its market. It has a very high market share. It's very able to mobilize and deliver the service that's required in a very short order. It has the assets, so it has a very competitive advantage over a lot of its competitors in the areas that they operate in at the moment.
And also, just to follow up on, in terms of the new Doha port that is expected to be completed in terms of construction by 2015 or 16, could you just outline how the company will benefit from that? What's the role of the company in operating that port?
Well, we are now the operator of the Doha port. And we are the operator of site or CT7 terminal in Misaid. Earlier this year, we have assumed the full operation, the full management of the Doha port, which is a much more expanded role. We hope that this would be as a first step to play a large role in the new Doha port that we complete in 2016. We work with the government closely on the on that project, but we don't have any final contractual mandate on that port yet.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. Cancel your request, please press the star followed by the two. Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Radwan Ahmed. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi guys. Just on your recent contract that you announced, a 1.88 billion VR contract with Qatar Petroleum, the 20-year contract, can you just give us a bit more information in terms of what that involves and what the likely capex is going to be over the next 3 years to build these 19 boats?
I think you understand the basics of that contract, right? I mean, you don't want me to go through the whole, or you need to understand more what is this contract about.
If you can just explain the basics, that would be quite helpful, please. Yeah.
Well, this is a port assistance offshore contract, meaning it's in the pilot operation, you know, for harbor tugs, pilot boats. This is the offshore services that go around ports. And this is a contract, by the way, we are the existing operators of that or delivering that service to Misaid port today. So Qatar Shipping is doing that at the moment. Qatar Petroleum would like to, given their projections and expectations of the flow to the new ports in the Misaid area, they would like to expand the operation and expand the services, including the number of vessels that operate and order that service. So we participate in this tender, and we won the tender, and we are expected to build or construct in 19 boats to deliver that service. The construction period will go over the next 3 years, and then the with the Nakilat Daman shipyard here in Qatar, and the contract will go on for 20 years after that. These 19 boats are not the expensive offshore vessels that you may be thinking about for the oil and gas offshore industry. Some of those boats are less than $1 million. They're not the most expensive kind of offshore vessels that companies would buy. But there is a significant capex investments that we'll have to go, or we'll have to do over the next 3 years to build those 19 boats with the Nakilat Daman shipyard.
Can you give us a kind of ballpark figure if it's in terms of capex, about 20 million or more, or in terms of if you're saying cost less than $1 million each?
No, I'm saying on the lower end. On the higher end, it's probably $8-9 million. On the lower end, it's maybe lower than $1 million. Some of them may actually be an anchor handler, one of those anchor handlers. Just let me just consult with Mohammed Yassin from operations here.
The 19 boats spread around over the spectrum of 80 tons bollard pull tugs. Two small mooring boats. So the price of these ships, the bulk of them are the smaller ones, but the large ones are usually on the $13 to $15 million apiece. But that's for the big ones only. So it is a major capex involved in building these boats, but all these costs and everything were taken into consideration during the pricing. So the whole capex will be recovered over the period of the contract.
We don't want at the moment to give this specific number because
actual issue.
We will also may do a joint announcement on the commencement of the building of the vessels with the yard, so we feel that it's inappropriate to make any disclosures on that. We're just seeing indications at the moment.
No problem. And then the actual contract itself, how does it work? Is it like a fixed contract for 20 years? Like, is it divided by 20 or 1.88 billion, or does it depend on kind of ramp up of period? And just sort of understand how the kind of the revenue cycle works for that particular type of contract.
Usually, just like any other long-term contracts in this industry, it will account for escalation factors and costs throughout the period.
Sure.
So it's fixed, but yeah.
Okay, guys. One other question, really. Something we talked about last year, and you mentioned about your kind of logistics city, and there's not been much talk about it more recently. I just wanted to know. Are there still plans to build that logistics city, or are you still drawing up, reanalyzing kind of your options for that?
At the moment, we are looking at the project from all different angles, and I think we will have a separate discussion when the time comes to announce what we are actually going to do with that project. Notwithstanding also that there are a lot of work that has to go before we actually announce how exactly the that would look like. It involves a lot of engineering work, involves a lot of consents, approvals, the infrastructure that has to go around that is quite important from power and all. So it's a big project that we have to make sure that we put in all the pieces that that will ultimately make sense for our shareholders. So it's still a work in progress.
Okay, and then sorry, one last question actually. In your strategy announcement, you talked about being kind of a shipping-related company. You focus on obviously offshore and the core shipping. One of the things you have, obviously, is this large, very large investment book, which is a great asset to have. But is there something you could do with that in terms of because I think when you speak to most investors, they want you to become a focused shipping company, not also have a asset management arm attached to it. How does management or the board feel about having this kind of a conglomerate structure where you have an asset management arm and you have a shipping business in terms of your future growth plans?
Yeah. Look, I think it's acceptable regionally to be a conglomerate shareholders, and I mean, I understand international shareholders and the way they look at the companies and want to make sure that they're focusing on the core business. I think what we tried to do in our restructuring was to move to a strategic holding structure more than a direct operating structure. And in that, we basically we have identified the pillars of our business. And we wanted to develop these businesses through those pillars. At the same time, that allowed that corporate structure to oversee the other non-shipping related activities and maintain them in the company, while keep those pillars focused on those specific businesses. So the product and chemical pillar would focus on that business only with its own management team. It will have its own strategy and will be responsible for executing that strategy. So instead of divesting our non-shipping related assets, I think what the company has done is actually moving to a more strategic holding structure, where it oversees the different operations, work on the strategy, and approves all major capex and important decisions for those pillars. But at the same time, allow them to have their own strategies and structure and flexibility to deliver on the on those specific segments and industries.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Karthik Sankaran. Please go ahead.
Hi. I just have a specific question on the financials. Just looking at the balance sheet, you have approximately $3 billion of fair value reserves. The available for sale investment book is $3.2 billion. So the fair value reserve seems like a very large amount relative to the size of your available for sale book, because that's effectively the surplus of market value to book value. Can you just understand what's behind the fair value reserve? What assets have contributed to that?
Maybe I should take this. This is mainly driven by listed securities that are accounted for as available for sale.
Does it include the real estate? Has real estate asset been revalued in the past?
Yes, we haven't. Real estate is still being booked at book value. We have disclosed for our shareholders in the balance sheet, in the notes, what would be the market value of the real estate assets.
So just to follow up, because it's not very clear, because I mean, it's very large because available for sale, the available for sale on the balance sheet includes the fair. It reflects the market value of the asset, right? It reflects the market value of the securities. So $3 billion of surplus value just seems very high for a book that's at $3.2 billion. Is that the right way to look at it?
It's a fact. I'm not sure I see the question. I mean, it is high, but
okay,
it is high.
I just wanted to check. Thank you. And just one more question, just on the commercial business. You mentioned that you sold a large amount of inventory below cost. How much is there still much inventory left to clear? How does that look?
No, the inventory, what we sold was the heavy equipment that was aged about 3 years. So in some cases, 3 years might not seem like a long time, and some companies might keep it on their books, but we decided to get rid of it. But that was the big lot of it.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. We have another follow-up question from Radwan Ahmed. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Yeah, sorry. Just remembered one of my questions. I just wanted to ask you about seasonality. I think historically, I think you mentioned that your second half of the year is typically stronger than the first half of the year. And do you expect that seasonality to continue this year and beyond? Is that how business normally operates?
Volumes in the fall.
Hard to tell.
It's hard to tell with the seasonality and just that the historical trend will continue in the future. I think I wouldn't necessarily say that second quarter month was much stronger than the first quarter, and this is necessarily a link that's going to continue.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. To cancel your request, please press the star followed by the two.
Maybe just one thing to follow up to Ahmed that some of the seasonal factors like Ramadan and they actually move in the year, so that may also distort the historical trends that you're trying to establish here, the seasonality.
Thank you, sir. We appear to have no further questions at this time. Please continue with any further points you wish to raise.
I think if there are no more questions, we have nothing to add. We're done.
Okay, operator, we can conclude the call. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd just like to thank everyone for their participation and for all the questions. We hope that we've answered all your questions, and this was helpful to everyone. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us today. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.